Good to welcome you tonight in the Lord's name to the house of God, and we trust the Lord will bless our coming together tonight in his name. Could I just make one or two announcements at this stage of the service before we come to worship tonight? Just re-emphasizing our restrictions, we all are familiar with them, social distancing, entering and exiting the building, and while in the building, let's not drop our guard in relation to these matters. Offering baskets as you leave at the exits of the church. And then on Wednesday night is our missionary prayer meeting at 8 p.m. Do remember that, please, when we think about the work of our Bible college, and the Reverend Timothy Nelson, who is the principal of our college, will be along to speak to us of the work of the college, training young men and women for ministry and missionary service home and abroad. That's on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. And there will be a retiring offering for the work of our Whitfield College this Wednesday. Let's make every effort to attend if possible. Could I mention the Youth Fellowship too? We appreciate all have been helping with this and getting it on Zoom past 2 Fridays. And then we'll link up again during November for a couple more Fridays to keep in touch with our young people. Do remember that. Friday at 8 p.m. is the ordination and installation of Mr. Andrew Murray as minister of our Dara Free Presbyterian Church. That meeting is by invitation only. It's being held in our Lurgan Free Presbyterian Church, and the preacher will be the moderator, Reverend John Armstrong. It has been streamed live on Sermon Audio from Lurgan Free Presbyterian, so you can link in with that on Friday night. I know Andrew would have liked to have invited everyone from Ballygowan, but that's not possible. But do please remember the situation there as he goes into the church in Ardara and as he takes up the ministry there. All of our other church meetings and activities are kept under constant review in relation to them resuming. And could I mention the services next Lord's Day, 1st of November, when we'll be here preaching the Word of God at both services, the family worship at 11:30. Again, we're in Paul's letter to the Colossians, coming to the end of that study in the Lord's Day morning service. In the evening, the gospel service here in the church hall, continuing in the miracles of John's gospel. The building fund will be next Lord's Day at both services. All loose collections and building fund envelopes go to the building fund. Our Remembrance Day service will be held in DV on the 8th of November at 11:30. Do remember that special service of remembrance for those who have died in the world wars. Please remember those who are sick, those who have gone through or are about to go through various procedures. Remember Dr. Cairns and his wife, who have both been taken ill at the end of the past week, and others who are in hospital and are unwell at this time. We pray that the Lord's hand will be upon each one of them. Our sister Susan Carlyle lost her dad during the week, and do please remember the Carlyle family in your prayers. And then our brother Bill Stewart, one of our ruling elders, lost his mother on Thursday evening. That funeral is tomorrow, but with the restrictions, of course, it's for family only. So you'll understand that. And the family would have liked you have been able to attend, but because of the restrictions, it cannot be so. Do pray for us, that funeral, those funeral services tomorrow. We commend these families to the Lord in prayer in their time of sad loss. Remember the little booklet we have produced on Dr. Paisley to do with his prayer life, and that's available freely. If you want to take a copy or copies, you can take it freely as you leave the service tonight. I think these are all the announcements. Just to mention the Nepal vehicle appeal, again, if you're giving towards that, please indicate on the envelope. I put it in an envelope and indicate that that is what it's for. That's the Nepal vehicle appeal. If you want to give to that, you can do so. We're going to join in the singing of our opening hymn. It is 293 in the hymn book, I Must Needs Go Home by the Way of the Cross. It will be on the screen, and we remain seated as we sing.
I shall bear this sight of the gates of the world.
stand together for prayer, please. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we bow in thy holy presence tonight in the Saviour's name. We thank you for this Lord's Day when we remember the great work of the Reformation, what was given to us in a bygone age. We thank you for the Word of God which we're thinking about this morning, the life of William Tyndale and what he gave to us under God and the sacrifice he made, paying the ultimate sacrifice for his fearless stand for the truth of the Word of God and to give it in the English language. We thank thee, O God, that we can read our Bibles tonight because of the likes of William Tyndale. And Father, as we come tonight, we pray for thy presence with us in this service. We pray that thou wilt draw near to speak to our hearts from thy word tonight. We pray that we'll hear the voice of the Lord saying unto us, this is the way, walk ye in. We pray that, Lord, you'll make us to be obedient to the voice of God. We will hear thy voice saying unto us. And Lord, we pray that we might heed that voice tonight. We pray for any who are not saved in this service. We pray that this will be the night of their salvation. This will be the time when they will come to Christ and trust in the finished work of the Savior and experience the grace and the salvation that is found alone in Christ. Remember those of our number who are not well at this time or maybe fearful of coming out in these circumstances. But Lord, remember those too maybe who through this time have grown careless or complacent. And Lord, any excuse will do to keep them from the house of God. We pray that you would stir their hearts again, give them interest in the things of grace, and bring them to the house of God regularly again. Remember, O God, those who have sickness tonight, those who are ill in hospital. Think of Dr. Cairns at this time and his wife at home. We pray for that healing touch upon your servant. And we pray that thou wilt restore him to health and strength. Remember our brother Billy McCulloch, whom we've heard of as well, who's laid aside in hospital. We pray for our brother Billy that you'll touch him. And Lord, that you would heal him and restore him to wanted health and strength. Lord, remember his wife and his family at this time too. And remember others, O God, who need our prayers, those who have suffered bereavement. Think of the Carlisle family. We pray for comfort and grace for them at this time. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt draw near with thy peace. Remember the Stewart family as they prepare for the funeral of their loved one tomorrow. We pray, O God, that thou wilt draw near to give grace and help to the family at this time. May they know the presence of the Lord with them. And we pray for those who are unsaved in these family circles, that thou wilt draw them savingly to know Christ. Pray for thy presence with us tonight. We pray that thou wilt go before us in the preaching of thy word, that thou wilt pour out thy spirit upon us. Grant that we might know times of visitation and refreshing from the presence of God, not only here in Ballygowan, but across our land, everywhere the gospel is truly preached. May men and women tonight be saved as the word goes out. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. We're reading together from the Word of God in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. The sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. Reading together from this portion of God's Word tonight. John's Gospel, chapter 6, and we're reading together from the verse number 15. John chapter 6 and verse number 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew, so that when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Amen. Ending our reading at verse 21, we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. We'll turn in our hymn books to hymn number 283 in our hymn books. If you have a hymn book, but just look to the screen, which is mostly the case with all of us,
or most of us tonight anyway. It was Jesus, my Savior, who died on the tree to open a fountain for sinners like me. 283, we'll keep our seats and we'll sing the words on the screen.
Thank you.
for prayer. Let us come before the Lord and let's seek the Lord's face tonight for his blessing upon us as we meet together around his word. May the Spirit of God be poured out upon us as we think on his word tonight. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We draw your attention tonight again to the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have been thinking about these miracles as they are brought before us in the Gospel according to John. And we notice again and again in the Gospels as we read through them the number of occasions that the sea is mentioned, or a ship is mentioned, or a boat. Jesus being on the sea, Jesus crossing over the sea, Jesus by the seaside, Jesus speaking out of a boat, or having left the sea, speaking to the multitude. And so the sort of theme of the sea, the theme of the water, the theme of a ship or a boat is brought before us on many occasions. And here in the 6th chapter of John, we have Jesus having gone over the sea of Galilee, according to verse 1. And then in verse 3, and Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And then as we saw last Lord's Day evening, we have the feeding of the 5,000. And then Jesus compelled the disciples to get into a boat. We see from Matthew 14, 22 and Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Because he knew that they were in danger. The crowd were now aroused. And there was a movement to make him king. If you look here in this very portion we've read from in John 6 tonight. Verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Of course, some of the disciples would have rejoiced at the opportunity to become famous and powerful. Judas would have become perhaps the treasurer of the kingdom. Perhaps Peter would have been named prime minister. But this was not the plan of God. This was not in the Lord's purpose. And Jesus broke up that meeting immediately. Certainly, the Roman government would have stepped in had that movement begun. Again, we come to the mention of the sea in verse 16. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea. Verse 17, and entered into a ship. And so we have the mention of the sea again. We have the mention of a ship. The setting is again that of the water. And the Lord traveling by means of boat or of ship, the Lord teaching out of a ship, is something that comes before us again and again. The contrast, of course, and the context rather, is that of the feeding of the 5,000. The miracle taking place when the Lord Jesus Christ with 5 loaves and 2 fishes fed the multitude. And the Lord Jesus Christ was being followed by this multitude. Now we see the miracle upon the sea itself, where the Lord found himself in these circumstances. You see, his power, no matter where he was not diminished. His power to perform miracles. And here it is seen on the sea, with the Lord Jesus Christ walking on the water. Sometimes we talk of someone or maybe a member of our family or someone we know. They can do no wrong. They walk in water. It's a saying that may be true or may not be true about that person or about some other people that we know. But it was certainly true of the Lord Jesus Christ. The context before us It shows the Lord Jesus Christ walking on the water. And so we have this miracle that took place here on the sea. But the Lord Jesus Christ walked on the water to his disciples. And the Holy Spirit has a message for us tonight, even from this miracle. And I pray that the Lord would write his word upon our hearts tonight as we think about Jesus walking on the water. There are a number of things here that I want to bring to your attention in the context of these verses. First of all, the darkness that surrounded them. You'll notice in verse 17, he entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. Maybe you've been out in a boat in the dark. Years ago, I had that experience with my brother-in-law, a little boat. Just the two of us, the engine failed. Imagine it, the two of us trying to row to the shore in the dark. Just a few lights flickering on a distant shore. But we got there safely. The rest is history. Here were the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ on the ship, in the sea, and in the darkness. And the majority of the people in this world tonight, my friends, are traveling on the sea of life, and they're traveling in darkness. They have launched out on the sea of time, and darkness has overtaken them. Maybe this describes you right here tonight. The Word of God speaks of the darkness of those without Christ. They grope in the darkness, Scripture tells us, as at noonday. The Bible states in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in whom the god of this world, that Satan himself, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The darkness of those without Christ. In fact, in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 21, when the Holy Spirit is describing for us there the plague of darkness that came upon Egypt, the Bible tells us it's a darkness that could be felt. They were enveloped in darkness. They were shrouded in darkness. And maybe on occasions you've stepped out into the night and such was the darkness, no moon or stars in the sky, and you couldn't see, as we would say, the finger in front of you. Such was the darkness. Quite unnerving, to say the least. As you negotiate the course of life in the darkness of sin, how dangerous it is. You're unsure of your next step, of what it will mean, or where it will lead to. At this time, the Bible tells us that the Lord had not come unto them. They were without Christ. Jesus had not come to them, verse 17 says. Christ was not on board their vessel. And many there are tonight in this world, the masses of mankind, and Christ is not on board the vessel of their lives. Is he on board your vessel tonight? Is Christ in your life tonight? What awful darkness there is, maybe in members of your family and maybe even in your heart tonight, because they are without Christ. They are without the light of life, without the light of the world. It is possible, my friends, to have many others in your company, but they are in the same darkness as you are in. They are as much without Christ as you are, in the very same peril that you're in. Imagine dying in your sins, my friend. Dying without Christ. People talk in these circumstances, and I've experienced it myself in my own family, when someone who is in your family and they die alone in a hospital ward. And you cannot be there to say goodbye. Very difficult situation. But how many are dying in the darkness of their sins tonight? Imagine being born in heathen darkness, duped by a false religion, deprived of even a single verse of Scripture, a stranger to grace and to God. But for many of you here tonight and listening to this message, it could not be said, for you have known the gospel truth, but you have chosen to remain in darkness. You see, the Bible teaches us that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You have rejected Christ. You have chosen to refuse the gospel. You have chosen to refuse the light which He brings. Oh, stay no longer in your darkness, but enter into that light. Don't remain without Christ tonight. Don't remain in the darkness without the Savior. But I want you to see, secondly, tonight in this portion of God's Word, the difficulty of their situation. Look at verse 18. The sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. The darkness gave way to dread. The tempest that overtook them. And Satan was behind that storm. Remember this, that he is the prince of the power of the air. And the storm that descended without warning on the Sea of Galilee was symbolic of the storms of life that overtake us on our journey across time's uncertain seas. For those who have visited Israel will know that you're told by guides there that on the Sea of Galilee a storm can arise very quickly. And you're least expecting it. In a very short time, that storm can come. How many storms come upon us even before we can prepare for them? They do great damage. They leave ruin and wreckage behind. Many storms have come across families, upon homes, leaving broken homes and broken hearts, disease and despair, death and loss. And with so many, Christ is not on board the frail vessel of their lives. And sadly, even amongst all that has been happening, amidst all that's been happening in this world, it seems to me that few are turning to God. More and more are wanting to get back to the pub, wanting to get back to the pleasure, wanting to get back to their old ways. No thought of eternity. No thought of where they will be. I happen to be in a shop, social distancing, of course, but standing back, listening to two young women who are talking across to each other. And the sort of conversation brought a chill to my spine when they said about what they were planning to do amidst all that's happening. No thought about the next moment. No thought about eternity. The storms of life are raging, my friend. In your home, perhaps, in the workplace, in your life tonight, you're blown about by this fierce storm. Tempest wild, the hymn writer said, on sea and land. The storms of life are raging. You think of Jonah in the midst of the storm. In Jonah chapter 1, and all the while the backslidden prophet was asleep. He seemed not to be alert to the danger. The disobedient prophet who sought to run away from God ended up in a storm. Are you in a storm, backslider, tonight? In your backsliding ways, in your backsliding from God, in your running away from God? You've sought your own way instead of God's way. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Where did Jonah end up? He ended up in the sea. He ended up in the belly of a great fish. Jonah chapter 1, verses 15 and 17. Backslider, tonight you're in a storm because of your disobedience and your disregard for God's word, and you're going away from God and you're wandering afar off from Him. the difficulty of their situation. Remember there in Acts chapter 27, the storm that came to that ship. And Paul was on board that ship. It was a tempestuous wind, according to verse 14 of Acts 27, called Euryclidon. The Bible tells us in verse 18 of the passage, they were exceedingly tossed with a tempest. No small tempest lay on us. The scripture tells us there. It seemed an utterly hopeless situation. As the storm in your life rages tonight, you're being blown about from side to side. You feel yourself to be in danger. The dread that overwhelms you tonight. The Word of God tells us here in Acts chapter 27, verse 20, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Oh, the utter hopelessness of their situation. But God's man, Paul, was on board that vessel and brought God's word to all the passengers. It was a word of salvation in the midst of the storm. And that is the word that comes to your soul tonight, even in this gospel service. It comes from heaven tonight to your heart, even in this meeting. You can be saved if you obey the word of God. You can experience divine deliverance if you will listen to God's voice tonight. You need not be lost. But it will only be so if you believe God. And that is the essence of what Paul said to those men in Acts 27. You can read it for yourself. My friend, salvation is found alone in Christ. There is no other way. I was reading some articles this week. Maybe you've been reading them about those who have been involved in the situation, the troubles of Ulster. And one of the headlines was concerning this particular individual. He found religion. My friend, I'm not here presenting you religion tonight. This world is cursed by religion. This world is blighted by religion. I'm here tonight to present to you Christ, because Christ alone is the answer. It's not religion. You might have your own ideas about how you can be saved, but it's God's way that matters. And there's only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The difficulty of their situation. But I want you to see, thirdly, the dismay at the sight. Look at verse 19 of the passage in John 6. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking in the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. You see the figure walking on the sea, drawing nigh into the ship. They were afraid. The terror that overwhelmed them. Strange to say, it was not so much the terror of the howling wind and the heaving waves, but of the Lord's supernatural appearance. They were about halfway across the lake, having gone about 20 or 30 furlongs. Verse 19. Of course, they knew this lake. No doubt they had been on board many vessels before. They knew perhaps the dimensions of the lake by heart. And from the vicinity of Bethsaida, the distance across the lake to their destination of Capernaum was about 5 miles. They had rowed about 3 miles. We can imagine their terror when they saw this figure walking in the water toward them. Jesus coming nearer and nearer. And they were afraid. Far more afraid now than they'd been in the darkness of the storm. They were used to storms at sea. Those unwelcome as they were hurtful as they were, could be called, of course, a natural phenomenon. But to see a person walking toward them had them filled with terror. Maybe you've been in that situation where you saw a figure, you weren't so sure who it was. It would cause you great fear, understandably so. It was something that made their hair stand on end and the blood run cold. Surely, they knew not that it was truly him. In fact, in Mark chapter 6 and verse 49, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. Again, Matthew 14 verse 26, they cried out. The Lord is coming toward you tonight. As you struggle with others on the vessel of life in the midst of the storm, he's coming to help you. But you're not fully convinced that it is really him. You're desperate for help, but you're unsure that it's really the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming. Are you dismayed as they were at the sight? Jesus is walking toward you. Don't turn away from him tonight. Oh, you're fearful and afraid. Don't reject him. May your eyes be opened to see that it is the Lord. It is Jesus who's coming to help you, who's coming to deliver you, who's coming to save you. Will you open your heart tonight and let Jesus come in? Will you open your heart to Jesus tonight? Let Jesus come in. Let him be your Savior. And Lord, the dismay at the sight. But I want you to see the delight of the Savior. Look at verse 20. He saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Christ revealed himself to them, it is I, be not afraid. And we had, of course, the terror that overwhelmed them, but now we have the tenderness that overshadowed them. Across the waves, above the scream of the wind, came that well-known voice in words of reassurance, the tender voice of Jesus, it is I. Be not afraid. You see, my friend, his eye had seen them. His thoughts had surrounded them. His heart had gone out to them. He had not abandoned them. My friend, tonight, as you travel this sea of life and on this voyage in which you're on in this world tonight, with all the tempests that are round about you, oh, let me urge you tonight to set your eye upon Christ. Let me urge you tonight to hear with your ear, the inner ear, the ear of the heart, hear the voice of Christ saying to you tonight in this meeting, it is I. Be not afraid. Although he knew all about the storm, he had not prevented it from overtaking them. Although he could have, of course. But there is always a purpose. You see, God, as we said this morning concerning Tyndale, God always works in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm. And he's there in his person. He's really there. It is I, he says. It is I. What wonderful words are these? The Lord is there. Oh, that you might see him tonight by faith. He's here tonight. His person. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord you need in the midst of the storm. When all is raging round about you. When all seems so hopeless. And you feel so helpless. When you feel so weak and frail. You cannot escape. You cannot seem to cope. Jesus speaks. And tenderly he says tonight to you, it is I. It is I. He introduces himself. What an introduction this was. It was his person, but it was personal. It is I. It was personal to them. Personal to all who were on board that vessel. No one was left out. And he comes alongside your vessel tonight. In order that you might know him. And that you might come to him tonight. Acquaint now thyself with him. And be at peace thereby. Good shall come unto thee. It was not only personal. It was not only of his person. But it was his presence. It is I. Be not afraid. And when he comes alongside us and reveals himself, he drives away our fears. We're conscious of his presence. Maybe you've come here tonight fearful. Maybe you've come tonight to this service, as many are in these times in which we live, and they're filled with dread and fear. But they were conscious of his presence, and they were brought to know his peace. And my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to you tonight, and he says, "It is I, be not afraid." He wants to manifest his presence toward you tonight. He wants to give to you his peace, a peace that this world cannot give and cannot take away. Jesus said, "I will give you rest. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." But I want you to see finally tonight the deliverance that was secured. Look at verse 21 of this portion. "Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at land whither they went. The disciples were glad to have the Savior on board. They wanted Christ on the vessel." How many there are in this world tonight who choose to face life's treacherous seas without Christ? But they didn't reject Christ. They received him. Will you receive Christ tonight? Just as you are, just where you are in the service, will you call upon the name of the Lord? "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible says, "But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name." Things will be different when Christ comes on board. Remember the storm and the sea when the disciples were fearful and they cried out to him in their fear, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And Jesus arose and stilled the storm and they were safe. He was on board the vessel. Oh, that he might be on board your vessel tonight. Will you come to Christ tonight? Will you be saved tonight? See the astonishing words that John adds here. In this verse, "Immediately the ship was at land whither they went." The sense is that with Christ on board and in charge, all would be well. And he was so much the center of attraction that the journey seemed less. They just arrived at their destination without a further thought. What a safe passage. What a serene journey. How secure they were with the great captain on board, the captain of their salvation. Is the captain on board your life tonight? Are you going like the rudderless ship? You're going to crash against the rocks, and you're going to end up in a lost and Christless eternity. We used to sing that in the children's meeting. Perhaps we still do it sometimes. "Do you want a pilot? Signal then to Jesus. Bid him come on board. He will safely guide across the ocean wide until at last we reach the heavenly harbor." Will you bid Christ come on board tonight? He's walking in the water. The miracle working Savior. He's coming towards you tonight. Oh, that you might open your eyes to see him. The Bible says, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish." Thank God when we come to Christ, he gives us such security, not only for now, but for all eternity. We will enter into that haven of rest. Christ came walking in the water over the strong waves in the midst of all that tempest to bring deliverance to these people. And so in his miracle-working power, he can walk through the storm-tossed billows of your life tonight to give you that deliverance you desperately need. Oh, may you know it tonight, that ere you leave this place, you may close with Christ as he's offered to you in the gospel. Christ walking in the water. Oh, may the Lord apply his word
by His Spirit to our hearts tonight. We're joining in the closing hymn tonight as we remain seated and sing it together. 273, I hear Thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to Thee for cleansing in Thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. 273, you'll see it on the screen before you, just keeping our seats as we sing.
God has spoken to you tonight. You're here and you're not saved. Do speak with us as you leave. We'll be out there somewhere at a distance. And do speak to us. We hope we're helpful to you. We want to be helpful to you and open God's word with you and point you to the one who can meet your need tonight, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't go away. These are uncertain times. Maybe your last opportunity. Don't miss it tonight. Come to Christ and be saved. Whether you be old or whether you be young,
come to the Saviour tonight. Father in heaven, apply thy word by the power of thy Spirit to the hearts of those that have heard. Speak, Lord, to those that are not saved and bring them to Christ. Strengthen thy people in their faith. Keep us all safe in these days. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. Please be seated. You'll be told just when you can leave, how you can leave safely tonight. Thank you for coming.